Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know, a show empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health, your hormones, and overall well-being. And it's wonderful having you with me today. I have a topic for discussion that I find particularly fascinating and get quite excited about. So we're going to be having an opportunity to explore the ways to restore your hormonal essences naturally. We're going to be looking at some ancient wisdom that has the ability to support us in achieving greater fertility, reducing PMS, to sail through menopause, and overall rejuvenate our bodies naturally. So this is a topic that I'm sure you will find really fascinating. I know I have found it really fascinating. As I have been traveling for the last 3 months in Australia and New Zealand, lecturing on women's health and hormonal balance and rejuvenation, this is a topic I discuss a lot. Understanding what is known as hormonal essences, how can we support, restore, optimize the very energies within the body that allow us to have optimal hormonal health and correct hormonal issues without the need for the pill, without the need for hormone replacement therapy or bioidentical hormones. It's a fascinating topic, and I'm so glad you are with us today. We're also going to be addressing some of the needs of men as well as women. So this is a wonderful conversation for everyone. And to help us understand what we're talking about when we say hormonal essences is my guest, who is a wonderful guest on the show. He's been here many times. I'm talking about Angelo Druda, who is a practitioner of Oriental medicine. He lives in California, Northern California, and he is the founder of Traditional Botanical Medicine and the author of The Tao of Rejuvenation. And Angelo is quite a wise herbalist, Chinese herbalist, and certainly someone who has been of immense support in my own journey to reclaim greater hormonal health and balance and helping me to restore my hormonal essences. So welcome to the show, Angelo. I know you haven't been on for a while, and it's always so much fun to have you on because this is a topic that I just love talking about, I have to say. It's one of my favorite words, hormonal essences. You know, I just want to say that this is my favorite way to really support men and women in regaining the level of hormonal support that optimizes health and well-being. Personally, I'm concerned about how we have overstated the benefits of hormones, hormone replacement, particularly for women, but we'll also talk about men and how in our culture the pill is used for every condition that a young woman is facing, everything from PMS to, endometriosis, ovarian cysts, and even fertility treatments. And then when we go on into perimenopause and menopause, this is where the world of hormones really comes into their own, and we give women HRT, and if women prefer the more natural, supposedly natural approach, then we talk about bioidentical hormones, which is a huge, huge, huge industry, bioidentical hormones. And I have some real concerns about all of that. So for me, if we can find natural ways that can help us to regain balance, to help support long-term health and well-being without putting our health at risk, then, you know, I'm all for it, which is why this appeals to me. So that's what we're going to talk about today, Angelo. And I guess a good place to begin is to explain from that traditional Chinese medicine point of view, what's going on with our hormones?
Well, in keeping with the subject here, Western medicine today And that includes alternative Western medicine these days for the most part. They see the deficiencies, the natural deficiencies that occur in the body over time. And the Western medical approach is to measure the changes in hormonal response that occurs as we age. And the main and fundamental treatment is to then put hormones into the body, as you've been discussing here in your intro. And this is, for the most part, an approach that began in allopathic Western medicine with hormone replacement therapy, and it's now evolved into what's known as bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. But the approach is treating the deficiencies, the natural deficiencies that occurs with aging, by putting the hormones into the body itself. The Oriental medical perspective is different from that. The Oriental medical perspective actually examines and observes and diagnoses the actual specifics of the deficiencies in the body. And rather than introducing hormones into the body, they treat those deficiencies, which we then notice in Oriental medicine causes a restoration of natural and normal hormonal flows. So that is the difference that you were talking about in your introduction. And in Oriental medicine, this is the fundamental approach, is actually observe and diagnose the actual deficiency. Now, Western allopathic medicine actually does not really have a system that actually examines and identifies those deficiencies at the level of the organs of the body, at the level of the chi or energy of the body, at the level of the essences of the body. The deficiency is read as a hormonal deficiency. So Oriental medicine is different. Rather than introduce the hormones into the body, we examine and determine the specifics of the deficiency, treat the deficiency, and then we stand back and notice and observe that the body itself, in its ultimate wisdom, restores balanced hormonal flows. So that is the fundamental difference, and for the rest of this conversation, that's pretty much where the system of medicine that I practice is coming from.
So when you talk about deficiencies, maybe we need to define that for my audience, because if people aren't familiar with the model based on the wisdom of traditional Chinese medicine, that may be a strange term or an unfamiliar term.
Just consider your automobile. You fill it up with gas, and that's the... That car is the young person heading down the highway of life. Well, over time, the gas is used up and runs out. Well, the human body at birth receives its inheritance from its parents, from its lineage. It receives the natural life essences. It receives the natural life fire. But over time, naturally, things are used up. Over time, organs become weak. So there are natural deficiencies that occur in the human body. Anybody who has experienced adrenal exhaustion, and you don't need to be an aging old person to experience adrenal exhaustion, well, that's an experience that shows you that you can actually use up, wear down the organ systems and the hormonal responses in the body. So Oriental medicine, hundreds of years ago when it was developed, it specifically examined the broad range of organ deficiencies. It examined the relationships between all the organs of the body, how they work together. And it observed patterns of deficiency. There could be blood deficiency, kidney deficiency, spleen deficiency. It can observe that organs can underfunction. They also observe patterns of what is called in Oriental medicine excess. There can be organs that are working too much. There can be an excess of inflammation. There can be excess patterns in the body also. So when we talk about these deficiencies, we're talking about weaknesses or substances being used over the course of life. Oriental medicine, very specifically, it's the whole foundation of the system, is about observing the specifics of those deficiencies, identifying where they're located, observing any patterns of excess that need to be cleared and reduced and harmonized. And that really is the foundation of Oriental medicine. Make that diagnosis of excess or deficiency and do the things that are necessary to harmonize the organ systems, to harmonize the essences of the body, the energies of the body. And then the human body itself does the healing. The human body itself restores the natural hormonal flows.
So when we talk about these deficiencies, there are a lot of things. There are many things that can create conditions in the body that will impact these organs and systems and how well the energies are able to be available. I mean, stress can do it. Nutritional deficiencies can do it. Toxicities can do it, right? These are the experiences of life. In Chinese medicine, they understand the impact of those stresses on the body as deficiencies because systems are being strained or the energies available to have these systems work can be compromised because maybe you're not being well nourished, as an example. So the goal of the traditional Chinese model, and it's probably true of the other indigenous models like Ayurvedic medicine, is to find out what systems are being stressed, which ones are needing a little more attention, how to be nourished, how to get the right type of factors, including lifestyle factors, that will help renew, regenerate, reestablish proper functioning, and then the body goes back into a balanced state and the symptoms disappear. Would that be correct?
Yes, that is correct. For example, let's look at the most common gynecological imbalance. When we examine women who are experiencing hormonal imbalances, the most common pattern of imbalance involves a stressed or overworking liver and an underfunctioning spleen. This is the most common imbalance that we see in women. And that overworking liver, that liver stress, could be caused by overwork. It could be caused by trauma in life. It could be caused by an extremely toxic diet. Can be caused by a host of things that can cause the liver to not work properly, to cause the liver to overwork, to cause the liver to become a significant part of an inflammatory process in the body. So we can see a stressed liver, and then that stress pattern in the body is that stress pattern, that fire, as it's called in Oriental medicine, that inflammation coming off an overstressed and overworked and overtoxified liver can invade into the stomach and reduce the spleen energy. And the spleen energy is that digestive energy. It's that living fire of energy in the center of the body that digests our food. It metabolizes the things that we eat and makes blood and helps to produce an abundant supply of blood in the body. So when there's an overactive liver, we will almost always see an under-functioning spleen. And this in Oriental medicine is called a liver and spleen disharmony. Well, once a woman has a liver and spleen disharmony, then not only are there patterns of inflammation affecting the health of the body, but now we typically then see a lack of sufficient blood production, a lack of sufficient blood circulation, and therefore there is a lack of sufficient blood flow to the ovaries, and therefore the hormonal flows are directly affected. Now, this liver spleen disharmony.
Wait, let me just jump
in. Go ahead.
So, Angela, what would that look like as symptoms?
It could look like the classic PMS symptoms. It can look like all the emotional swings that take place in the premenstrual phase because the energy is being stuck in an overworking liver. It can look like premenstrual breast distension, sore and swollen breasts at the function, at the level of the liver. It can look like skin outbreaks at the level of the liver. At the level of the weak spleen, it can look like a late period. It can look like no periods. It can look like scanty menstrual flow. And it can all be traced to this pattern of liver-spleen disharmony. In one case, the liver is working too hard, and the spleen is under-functioning. And that pattern would not necessarily be identified as such by many doctors, and therefore they would measure the disruption of the natural hormonal flows, and they might attempt to treat it then by introducing hormones into the body. In Chinese medicine, in Chinese gynecological practice, we will harmonize the liver, we will strengthen the spleen, we will nourish the spleen's ability to produce blood, and that will increase blood flow to the ovaries, and then the net result is a restoration of natural hormonal flows.
And this would be done with specific personalized formulas. Herbal formulas.
This would be done in Chinese medicine. It could be done with acupuncture. It can be done with Chinese medical formulas. These gynecological formulas are old. I mean, I didn't think them up. These classic gynecological formulas come out of a gynecological specialty that was developed in Oriental medicine hundreds of years ago. Hundreds of years ago, the Chinese actually created a specialty of women's health, recognizing certain unique aspects of a woman's health, and they developed these very specific and very classic formulas today to deal with these liver spleen disharmonies. And then these formulas, these classical formulas, the structure is very classical. And then these formulas can be modified depending on the specifics of each individual patient.
So what are some foods that can aggravate this condition? What are some foods that can help heal it or restore balance, I guess?
It would depend much on the actual patterns that we were observing. But clearly, when you have an overheating liver, you have a liver that's generating inflammation in the body, this pattern in Oriental medicine is called stagnant liver qi. In other words, the energy is not flowing smoothly through the liver, which is what we want it to do. We want the liver to be soft and relaxed, and all the abundant energy in the body can flow through the liver freely. Well, if that liver is stuck and tight and the energy is stagnant, and we're seeing when the qi gets trapped in the liver, the qi is warm, life force is warm, so then that can cause an overheating in the organ. Well, if in the case of an overheating liver, then anything that increases that inflammation, that overheating, is something that you do not want to be doing at that point. And that could be hot and spicy foods, it could be curries and salsas, alcohol. Drinking alcohol, the liver converts, you know, our wine and our drinks into acetaldehyde, which then causes more heating in the liver, and the liver has to eliminate the acetaldehyde. So anything that increases that pattern of imbalance would be contraindicated at that point, and the foods that would be indicated would be foods that cool the liver, and that could be your green vegetables, it could be fruits. There's a whole host of naturally occurring herbs like bupleurum and dandelion and burdock. These are ingredients and herbs that cool the liver. These ingredients help relax the liver and move the qi flowing smoothly and freely through the liver. So for something of a liver issue of that nature, well, then, yes, you want to watch what is being eaten. And a person and a woman can have a strong impact on the health of the liver by making the correct dietary changes. For an under-functioning spleen, which usually results in blood deficiency, and women, because they're menstruating every month, have a tendency towards blood deficiency. And when we talk about blood deficiency, we're talking about the amount of blood that the body is actually producing. A healthy, thriving human body always has an abundant supply of blood, and it always has freely circulating blood flow throughout the body and through all the organs of the body. So if we see an under-functioning spleen that's causing blood deficiency, then yes, there are foods that can serve to help the body build blood. And again, it can be your dark green vegetables. It can be your whole grains like wild rice. It can be flesh foods like fish and chicken do build blood production in the body. This natural food product called rice mochi, which comes from Japan, where they take brown rice and they pound it down to the fundamental rice protein. And it's sold in natural food stores as brown rice mochi, and you can get all kinds of flavors that make it very palatable, very delicious. That brown rice mochi is a very good blood precursor. And then at the level of herbal medicine, it really was the discovery many hundreds of years ago by Chinese doctors. They discovered plants, primarily roots, specific plants and roots that were natural blood precursors. And when you introduce these herbs into the body just takes them, and it is just raw precursor, raw elements for the body to produce an abundant blood flow. So years ago, the Chinese discovered a whole class of natural herbal ingredients that were significant blood precursors. And in many respects, the discovery of those ingredients established the gynecological specialty in Oriental medicine. So you can change your diet and introduce some of those herbs, and over a matter of several menstrual cycles, a woman can just observe balance being restored.
Now, when young women have PMS, which is, you know, the condition you were talking about from that TCM perspective, that, you know, overheating liver and the deficiency of the spleen, which leads to PMS and all the other, you know, inflammatory conditions, I would imagine endometriosis is part of that, maybe ovarian cysts or lack of periods. A young woman will go to their doctor, and her doctor will prescribe the pill. It's classic. We know that that's going to be the major solution to this problem.
Yes.
So from a TCM perspective, what are some of the impacts of taking these pharmaceutical drugs into the body, and how would that, which of course is shutting the system off, it's not really resolving a problem, because the pill, by mimicking pregnancy with high hormones, is designed to essentially fool the body into thinking it's pregnant. So these underlying imbalances and deficiencies are never addressed. And what might be the consequence of going down that route?
Well, there could be all kinds of consequences from going down that road, but primarily, as you're just indicating, is that the root imbalance is not actually being addressed. And the body's innate, inherent healing ability is not being tapped. It's not being unlocked. We're simply treating the symptom. And the body wants to heal itself. The body has this profound healing ability. The body has an ability to stimulate a profound regenerative chemistry. And that regenerative chemistry is fundamentally hormonal in nature. So, and we know as health practitioners, as medical practitioners, we know how lazy the endocrine system gets when we eliminate the work that it has to do. So when you start putting hormones into the body, then the endocrine system, the longer the hormones are introduced into the body, then the less and less the body's own endocrine system is going to actually produce these hormonal flows on its own. So the first thing at its root is we're not tapping into, we're not using the imbalance to bring us back and tapping into the body's own innate healing chemistry. We're not using that approach. We're using an approach that does something different. And then beyond that, I've been in clinical practice now for many years, more than I want to think about in this moment. And there are just an endless amount of imbalances because it is extremely difficult to get the hormonal cocktail balance correct. I mean, only the body really knows how to get the myriad subtleties of hormonal balance absolutely correct for each body. And it depends then on what kind of secondary hormonal imbalances are created by what is attempting to be the therapy. So we see a host of conditions down the line of that we could trace back to the fact that the person was using the pill, the person was using hormone replacement therapy. And as you indicated earlier, you know, there can be all kinds of side effects, including things like polycystic ovarian syndrome, skin diseases, endometriosis. There's just a host of imbalances depending on who the person was, the nature of what their life was, and the actual hormonal cocktail that they were using. So, yes, it comes down to, just to put it simply, is the body itself knows how to get that hormonal cocktail correct, and we as humans, the dosing and the correct balance is something that's very difficult to get when we actually introduce hormones into the body. It involves combinations and dosages that, for the most part, we're just really, you know, hit and miss.
Well, you know, this relates to my passion in life in trying to educate women that the use of the pill, which is made up of synthetic progestins and estrogens, are known to be human carcinogens. So that's not a good thing to be putting into a young woman's body, not to mention the fact that when you do put in use the pill is known to deplete key nutrients of the body. I mean, vital nutrients, vitamins and minerals, and alters the probiotics, all of which goes back to what we were talking about earlier, is that it contributes to these deficiencies. We're using up these nutrients. The body can't function without those nutrients, and therefore something's got to give. It's going to show up as an imbalance. It's really a sign to let us know that something is seriously amiss and we need to pay attention, which often just doesn't get read properly by people. They're not understanding that the body is screaming out for help and it doesn't want to be medicated and shut everything off. It wants to be fed, nourished, nurtured, rejuvenated.
It wants to achieve balance. I mean, this is the fundamental observation that really is at the heart of all the great traditional medical systems, the Ayurvedic medical system from India, Tibetan medicine, the Oriental medical system from China. All of these medical systems, the fundamental observation was, if you did the work of bringing the body back into balance, then the body healed itself. The body has the ability to heal itself. The body is the only one that heals itself. We as practitioners or people serving their own health, we're simply doing the things that optimizes and serves the body's ability to heal itself. And by doing the right things, we can absolutely maximize, magnify, and tap into this innate ability for the body to heal itself. And we all know, I mean, you mentioned the book, The Tao of Rejuvenation. I mean, I talk so much about it in that book of these unique and sudden healings. I mean, we know these kinds of so-called miraculous healings exist, where on Monday somebody is terribly ill, and then suddenly, almost inexplicably, the body heals itself. Well, what happened there? Well, something unlocked the healing power of the human body, and we get what we might call a miraculous healing. Although we all know, we can all see that work. We might have a cold or a flu on Monday, feel dreadful, and oh my God, I just feel terrible. And then suddenly on Wednesday, the pattern just shifts, the body's healing regenerative chemistry comes to the front, and we feel good again. Well, that observation, that's the potential of the human body. That's the healing potential of the human body. And I know this is your passion. It's also been my passion. My passion has been, how do we unlock that healing potential for people so that we can live long and healthy lives? And yes, with many of these modern therapies, we're buying short-term fixes with, you know, there is a back-end payment, you know, down the line.
So this is a good time to take a break, and when we come back, we can talk about how to restore hormonal balance for women who are going through perimenopause, menopause, and beyond. And we'll also be talking about the support for men. So this is a really fascinating conversation. Don't go away. We have lots more to share. And we'll be learning more about the wisdom of Angelo Druda from his background in traditional Chinese medicine will be offering us. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know. We're going to take a quick break. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. We are talking about how to restore our hormonal essences naturally, how we can regain hormonal balance without the need of the pill or hormone replacement therapy or bioidentical hormones, and how to really regain greater balance and harmony within ourselves. So to help us on this journey, my guest today, Angelo Druda, who is the author of The Tao of Rejuvenation and is a, I like to call him, a master Chinese herbalist, and he is a wonderful guide on my journey to creating hormonal balance, is here with us exploring and explaining this whole concept of hormonal essences, which you're doing a really good job of, Angelo, because sometimes talking about Chinese medicine, it's like talking a different language, and most people, you know, it's a different way of understanding, a different paradigm. So I'm glad you're helping to interpret this for people, because the next topic I'd like you to interpret is this concept of kidney energy and kidney deficiency, particularly what is a pattern that occurs in women and men as we get older and start showing up in these perimenopausal symptoms or the menopausal symptoms, and certainly starts affecting women older and, you know, as we get into our 60s, 70s and beyond, although I think even younger women are starting to show those patterns. So first of all, why don't we just talk a little bit about this concept of kidney energy so people have an idea of what we're going to be exploring.
The point of view in Chinese gynecology towards menopause, the cessation of the period, is now and has always been a wholly positive point of view towards that change. And the point of view has been that at a certain point, the body observes that the resources that it has been using in order to produce a monthly menstrual cycle, in other words, the resources, the bodily resources that are necessary to sustain a reproductively active woman, at a certain point, just through the natural process of living and aging, at a certain point, those resources in the body become deficient. And at some point, the body actually turns off the menstrual cycle in order to stop using those resources for the sake of reproduction and to, in some sense, seal those resources in so that they can be used for the sake of longevity. And so in Chinese medicine, which really has no perimenopausal teaching, I mean, it's a fairly recent description. In Chinese medicine, what is called perimenopausal symptoms nowadays were simply observed to be, again, as we talked about earlier, the signs of deficiencies in the body. The typical age that women go into menopause, we can use that age 50 as a kind of mean age. Well, any kinds of irregularities, hormonal irregularities that occur prior to age 50 will be seen as a sign of the imbalances that we were talking about in the first half of the show here today. And so Oriental medicine will treat these so-called perimenopausal imbalances, again, by what are the actual imbalances in the woman's body? Let's address those imbalances and restore harmony in that way. But at a certain point, the reserves of the body are such that the period actually is stopped and turned off. And the primary deficiency that we see at that stage of life in women, we also see the similar deficiencies in men, but it's not as dramatic because men are not carrying around this reproductive cycle as women are. The primary deficiencies are read in the kidneys. The kidneys in Oriental medicine is the basal metabolic process. You can look at the human body as three primary life fires. There's the basal life fire, which we call the kidneys, and the adrenals sit on the kidneys, and we all know what happens when those adrenal glands are not firing the proper hormonal output. So there is this basal kidney fire, then there is the digestive fire, there is the brain fire. The foundation life fire in the body is the kidney fire. And the kidney fire, like an automobile, we'll use that example again, there is fire there like the spark plugs. That's the kidney fire, the kidney yang. And that explosion of energy in the body allows the body to do its work. But there's also living water in the body. There are living, moist essences in the body. And these essences are called yin. They're called the kidney yin. And you need both, you see. We need kidney fire and we need kidney water. If the kidney fire gets low, then we don't feel energized. We don't have that same drive that we have when the kidney fire is what it should be. When the kidney water gets low, you see the kidney essence is, the blood supply is being made from the kidney essence. The hormones of the body are being made from the kidney essence. So when the kidney essence gets low, well then, you see, we also experience these deficiencies in the body. And in fact, the law of aging, as it was traditionally enunciated in Oriental medicine, the law of aging was enunciated as the yang consumes the yin. The fire of life activity consumes the deep essences, the moist living essences in the body. Body begins to dry up. The body begins to dry out. The essences become deficient. Well, the primary deficiency that we see in women around the age of 50 is this kidney essence deficiency, this kidney yin deficiency. The primary deficiency is a deficiency in the cool, moist essences of the body. And therefore, then, what is the primary complaint of women who are undergoing menopause or the change of life? Hot flushing, hot flashes. What are we seeing? We see that the kidney water, the kidney yin, gets deficient. It doesn't control the fire. And the fire becomes out of balance, and women start getting these hot flushes. They overheat. That heat might move through the heart channel and impact their sleeping pattern. So the primary deficiency that we see at the age of 50 is this kidney yin deficiency. And again, that kidney yin deficiency is going to have a significant impact on the body. The body will even turn off the menstrual flow in order to protect the supply of kidney yin. And then the women will begin to enter into this so-called change of life. They might be overheated, and at that point, women may then turn to something like hormone replacement therapy, put the hormones back in the body, because nothing's going to impact hormonal flows in the body more than the deficiency of the very substratum from which the hormones are being made. In Oriental medicine, we go right to the kidney in itself. Let's just nourish that kidney yin. Let's tonify the kidney yin. Let's boost the kidney yin. And that then begins the process of restoring the yin, cooling the body, restoring natural hormonal flows via the ovaries. But that's the primary deficiency. And again, like we see it in men, and we have this andropause term that we use now, too, and men we'll begin to notice these changes post 50. It's quite dramatic in women because they've had this monthly menstrual cycle for many, many, many years.
So, you know, a couple of things I just have learned from studying the Chinese medicine model, from our conversations, is that when as we get into the menopausal years, because we get more and more deficient, this natural process of life is using up these energies, these aspects of our life force. What we really want to focus on is renewing, restoring, regenerating. It's like feeding, you know, these organs. We're talking about tonifying, we're talking about this nourishment concept. When we are going in and under the mistaken belief that these are failing, these hormone essences are failing, they cannot ever be recovered, and in order for us to survive as women and to, you know, have our energy and libido and, you know, just our looks and everything else, we need to make sure those hormones are replaced. But that's not true. That's not really the model I think serves us best, because there are dangers and risks associated with taking these hormones. And I have to say that many women are misprescribed hormones because, number one, they have not gotten the proper test, which is a saliva test, which will accurately show if women are really deficient. And I talk a lot about this in my book, Hormone Heresy, in my lectures, that women don't run out of estrogen. That's not the usual thing that's happening, even in menopausal and postmenopausal women. And there is a, you know, hormone adjustment, but we're not running out. It's not like the ovaries fail and stop producing. And because of these myths, we're, you know, led down this track that in order to stay vital in our menopausal and postmenopausal years, it's absolutely critical to take hormones. But there are some serious problems with that. I see it all the time. And so the misprescribing, putting, overdosing women on hormones that can have potential side effects, sometimes dangerous side effects, is not really solving the problem. That's why, for me, it's so much saner to work with natural, safe plant medicines that have a long history, like you said, hundreds of years, of being able to restore these vital essences. And I just want to say my own experience. So when I was in my 40s, going through a lot of stress, I was having insomnia issues, I was having night sweats issues, and I started getting hot flushes. It also showed up as, you know, this dryness, as you were talking about, which is a big problem for women, and I was experiencing this painful intercourse, vaginal dryness. Those are all signs that we are aging before our time. And the use of Chinese herbs and making some modifications in my diet and nutrition absolutely reversed that entire process. And that's why I'm such a big fan and believer in what you are doing, Angelo. And this is what I incorporate in my practice with your help. We put women on very personalized formulas, herbal tinctures that actually are helping to address these issues and rejuvenate the essences, which I get so excited talking about this because I personally have witnessed such a transformation from using these herbs, which I intend to stay with, you know, for the long term.
Yes. Well, absolutely. I mean, I totally agree and understand. And I mean, it's the same approach that I use for myself. And you know, there are very, very specific plants in nature that are very specific hormonal precursors. I mean, nature in its wisdom, you know, there are plants out there that just create a very specific testosterone response in the body, say. For example, there are premier plant substances in nature that are wonderful and have highly effective testosterone precursors. And instead of using something like testosterone replacement therapy, men can use these plant precursors, and the testosterone levels will be restored and maintained at a proper level. So, yes, I mean, this has become the predominant therapy of our time, the hormone, the replacing the hormones, but there's something prior to it. There is a root approach, but that root approach requires a certain amount of understanding because the formulas tend to be complex. And the imbalances tend to be complex, so it does require a certain amount of understanding of the imbalances and a certain amount of understanding of how to prescribe herbal medicine for these imbalances. But I understand what you're saying. I totally concur.
Yeah. Let's talk about men a little bit before we run out of time, because men need to understand that as they age or are under stress, that they will deplete these hormonal essences, and that can show up as fatigue and lack of libido and lack of concentration, lack of energy. What are your thoughts about the use of herbal formulas and these tinctures for supporting men?
Well, absolutely. You know, it's absolutely the same. I mean, yes, it's true. Low T, the so-called low testosterone. We don't want testosterone to get so low that the heart stops beating and the muscle mass is, you know, all but eroded. But again, you don't need to have a shot of testosterone in order to maintain the testosterone levels in the body. I mean, there is just an endless amount of substances and benign plants that can be used to very, very good effect for boosting testosterone. And you can take too much of those plants, too, and you'll know it. You know, your libido will be excessive, and, you know, you'll feel the energizing effect. These supplements tend to be tonifying to the kidney fire. So when we're tonifying the body as it ages, we not only want to maintain and keep the kidney water at its proper levels, but we want to keep the fire at its proper levels. So there is just a host of plant materials that can be used by men to maintain the testosterone levels in the body and protect the heart. And then all living beings, all human beings need to be attentive, and particularly post-age 50, to the yin levels in the body. They have to keep the yin levels, they have to nourish and protect the yin levels. And the problem with, even in this modern age today, is that this whole concept of yin deficiency is still so poorly understood. It seems to be just about totally absent from the allopathic group, and even in, you know, naturopathy and alternative medical scenes, there still seems to be a poor understanding of yin deficiency. But from the Oriental medical perspective, the yang consumes the yin. That was the fundamental enunciation of the aging process. Therefore, the fundamental treatment to slow the aging process is to nourish the yin. And this is pretty much what I do as a man who's been around planet Earth now for many years. Yes, I'm going to keep those yin levels nourished, going to keep the kidney fire nourished, going to preserve the testosterone levels so that I can do all the work that I still have to do. And beyond that, maintain your nitric oxide levels. That's probably another show. In order to keep the cardiovascular system open and freely, working freely and openly. And by being attentive to these factors, the yin, the kidneys, men can preserve and maintain their health and well-being for a good many years.
And what's wonderful about these formulas is that they are formulated for each person very specifically. And that's why I really like working with you with my patients, because we send you off a little photo of a person's tongue, which is a great diagnostic tool in traditional Chinese medicine,
yeah,
in association with the other symptoms and indications based on consultation. And, you know, you personalize these formulas, which have been profound for women and for men. And, you know, this is such a big take-home message for everyone. We not only can rejuvenate these hormonal essences, we can get our hormones back into balance, but beyond that, when we understand the power of traditional Chinese herbal medicine, we are using them to help rejuvenate and regenerate our body for the long haul. and that's what excites me, so we can stay vital into our 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. That was the gift from traditional Chinese medicine.
Amen.
You know, and that's why your work is so powerful. So if people want to learn more about your work, the best place to go is your website, right? TBmedicine.com.
TBmedicine.com, traditionalbotanicalmedicine.com. Yeah, they can get a hold of us there, and they can see what we're doing at traditionalbotanicalmedicine.com.
And I also recommend people pick up your book, The Tao of Rejuvenation. You have some great wisdom in there as well. And you know, it's always a pleasure talking to you, Angelo. You really inspire me, and I just want to thank you, because you have been a major influence in my life in helping to restore my hormonal health and balance and to make sure I maintain it. So thank you so much for the wonderful work you're doing.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. We're still here talking about it.
We are for a long time to come.
We're doing Thanks. All right.
Thanks, Angelo.
Thanks, Cheryl.
And thank you all for listening. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. I hope you'll join me next week. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.